What did you do with it? That's the title to the sermon. What did you do with it? I get them every time, don't I? I love it. Thank you for being helpful. Thank you for helping me. I'm just trying to find an innovative way to introduce a sermon in a different way, you know, to kind of get you set for the mood and understanding that, you know, there are methods to this madness sometimes. God has a plan and God has a purpose and God has a message for you this morning and a question for you, though. What did you do with it? What did you do with it? And you're going to wonder what the it is, but I'm going to tell you later. So see, there is an answer to the question because I'm going to give you the it later. But let's go to the Word of God first, right, and see where this comes from. John chapter 5, John chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. John chapter 5. Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the sheep gate, was the pool of Bethsaida, with five covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Slightly longer than some of us. Slightly older than some of us, right? Can you imagine 38 years lying on a porch? Can you imagine 38 years not living your life to the fullest? What did you do with it? When Jesus saw him and knew how long he had been ill, he asked him, "Would you like to get well? Would you like to get well? Would you like to live your life to the fullest? Would you like to live to the full potential that God gave you? Would you like to do that?" It would have been great if you guys were there by the porch, right? And he says in verse 7, the man responds, unlike you, he says, "I can't, sir. I can't get well." What do you think it also means in another word? I won't. I don't believe I can. I don't know I can. I've never been given permission before. And I can't. Which I'll translate that to us as I can't do it alone, right? None of us can we? We have to acknowledge that. But he says, "I can't, sir. For I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred up." So he's saying, I can't because of what? Somebody else. I can't because nobody's willing to help me. I can't because the water gets stirred up and all the other people get in ahead of me. And nobody will help me. What a rotten crowd that is. What a terrible church around that porch, huh? Do you really believe that no one would help this man? Or did he ask? Jesus asked him, though, right? You see, don't you love it when Jesus walks into your life and stirs up your complacency, stirs up your comfort zone, stirs up your can'ts, right? And stirs up your excuses, right? We all have excuses, don't we? Don't we all? We all have them. I got more than most, right? There's always a reason in our mind why we can't do something. I'm too short. I'm too old. I'm too whatever. I'm not enough. No one told me I could. Somebody said I couldn't. Nobody wants me to. Who am I putting the blame on? Where's the control on others? Really? Did God give you free will? I think back in the book of Genesis, God said, you can have dominion, right? You can have free will. Just do what I would like, obviously. That's where the commandments come in. So we've been allowed to live our potential, haven't we? What stops us? Very nice. No, it's the other person. It's society. It's the politicians. It's my family. It's my childhood. It's my gender. It's my sexuality. It's my education or lack thereof. It's my whatever. If I really believe I can't, which means I won't, I'm perfectly comfortable where I am. I've been here for 38 years. It's comfy and cozy. The same people, or maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one left by the porch. And all I get to see all these new faces come in and watch their life change and be transformed. You ever come to a church, watch other people get transformed, and you sit there and watch that? This is not a, what do you call that? I want to say it's an audience participation. I'm going to put it that way. You're supposed to participate in greatness. You're supposed to participate in healing. You're supposed to participate in your life. You're supposed to be greater than you believe you are. You are. Because Jesus walks up to you and says, do you want to live your life to the fullest? And you say, darn right I do. Let me at it, baby. Out of my way. When you have a good why you live, see, it's all about the why. Why are you here? What are you here to accomplish? What's your mission? What purpose did God give you? And are you fulfilling that purpose? Or are you waiting for the purpose to come to you? But guess who shows up right in the middle of your sitting there waiting 38 years for something to change? When you've been doing the same thing over and over for 38 years. That guy did what for 38 years? Nothing. He laid on the mat, making excuses, maybe never asking, never believing. I feel sorry for the guy. I have pity on him. So did Jesus. We have compassion on people that are stuck. But you know what? Jesus and this church and me as a senior pastor, you may know this about me. I'm a dynamite blasting out of your comfort zone type of person, if you haven't noticed. I don't do it meekly and mildly some days. Now, some of you I do, I'm a little gentler. Come on out of your seat, please. Some of you, you've been sitting there all too long in the same space. Whoa, it's one of those days, is it? I'm not attached to the front here, so guess what I can do? Whoa, I can move about the sanctuary. Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Who said that? Now, I'm here on not me, 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 not me. Woo, you can stay right where you are. Jesus asked the question, do you want to get well? We can answer, I can't. I won't. I don't want to. I'm fine. Thank you. Leave me here. It's okay. You can stay there. Right? It's okay with God. But how does that give you fulfillment? How does that give you joy? How does that help you and or others around you? When you think about the porch, the five porches full of people lying down, waiting for the water to get stirred up for the right moment to get healed, and they're eager. They're like, I don't know if they had a gun there, but maybe they shot off some kind of slingshot. But, you know, on your mark, get set, boom, right? Somebody shoots off the slingshot, and what happens to the crowd of all those people? The water's getting stirred up because the angels are coming, and somebody that jumps in the water fast enough is being healed. What do you think it looked like? Man, I would hope so. No, you go ahead. No, you. No, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to take a little snooze. I'm going to have a little nappy. You go ahead. You first. For those of us that are codependent, we'll save everybody else. You go in before me. I'll be back on the porch, laying down. I think one of the greatest tragedies I've ever seen, in my personal opinion, or watching people's lives as a pastor, is watching wasted potential. Watching people that God has healed and yet they still don't continue to live or serve or minister or whatever or contribute or enjoy their lives. There's nothing worse than wasted potential, is there? When you think about it, when we see a life cut short, as we've seen these students die so young, we think, what loss of potential. But see, those of us who are older and much older, a little bit older for me, than those teenagers, right? Do we not owe it to them to live our lives? We're here. We're safe. For some reason, God hasn't taken us yet. Doesn't it make good sense that we ought to live our life to the very fullest, right? And contribute to humanity and one another? And if it's within our power and giftedness to help people get into the water? You know I'm coming for you. It's a spiritual gift. I mean, think about it. You know, Jesus is a great example of he came to serve, he came to heal, he came to restore the blind, the lame, and the brokenhearted, and the outcast, right? That's what he came for. That was his purpose, wasn't it? To save us, right? To save all humanity, one way, shape, or form, or another, physically, spiritually, or emotionally, right? He came to do that. He would be remiss. He would be a terrible savior if he did not walk up to that man and say, do you want to get well? I would be derelict in my duty as a pastor if I did not walk up to you or preach to you and say, do you want to get well? Please say yes. Please, God is here asking you to just get off your mat. Get off of the excuses. Put them aside for just a second. And please do something with your potential, your God-given potential, your purpose. You, each of you, have a singular purpose. Your purpose is not my purpose. I'm here to agitate you. I mean, I'm here to, I'm here to encourage you. I do a really good job of both, right? Right? But we want to watch you thrive. We want to watch you grow. We want to watch you live to your fullest potential, whatever that is. It doesn't have to be grandiose. It doesn't have to be superstar. You don't have to get on American Idol and sing out your heart. You don't have to do all that big stuff. Maybe just be you, what your purpose is. When you know your purpose and your why, you can do anything in any profession, in any place, and throughout your life and feel fulfilled. You can. When you know why you're here. Jesus knew that. That was the beauty of Jesus. He so knew his purpose. I pray that I know my purpose. I pray that you'll know your purpose. Right? And that instead of staying where you've always been, afraid to move or thinking you can't, guess what? You can. If you will. Oh, let's go back to the scriptures. He gives them the excuse, and here's what Jesus does. See, he's not quite like me. I try to delve into your excuses, like what's beneath this and why, what do you feel now, and what happened when you were young, and what do you think you believe? He didn't do any counseling stuff. Jesus was much more direct than I am. How about that? Can you believe it? He said, Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your sleeping mat, and walk. What was the man's response? Did he say, I can't anymore? Did he say, no one's going to help me? I think Jesus flushed out, there aren't any excuses. The person that you need to help you get into the water and walk on it necessarily or help get you healed is here, right? And his very words, all he said is, stand up. Stand up. Oh, yes, now you're catching on. Pick up your mat. What's your mat? Well, it's the thing you sleep on, right? It's your warmy fuzzy, if it make me feel good. It's my, I don't have to go out into the world thing. I can just lay on this and it keeps me comfortable and cozy. It's what I've used for 38 years. It's my excuse blanket, right? Jesus says, pick it up and do what? Walk. Wait a minute, the guy's paralyzed. What is he paralyzed of? Physically? Fear. What else? Belief of I can't, right? Believe in him. Who said that? Whoa, somebody back there said it. Oh, beautiful. Wow. When you believe in God, do you believe that God can help you stand up and walk out of your circumstance that you're in? And also for you to take your it, which is this. What did he say to do with it? Well, I'll keep going. He said, pick up your mat and walk. Instantly, the man was healed. Healed of what? His belief system, his doubts, his thoughts about, I got to get into the water. That's the only way I can get saved or healed, right? He gave up the 38 years of just staying where he was. He made a decision, right? God said, okay, move, get up. And he did. There's something about movement, isn't there? Right? The very first step. Very nice. Thank you. The man rolled up the mat and began walking. He still got his mat. I want to say to the man, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that mat you've been lying on for 38 years? What are you going to do with it? Here, you lie down. You stay stuck. Who wants my mat? You want my excuses? If you don't have enough excuses of your own, you can have mine. You sure? Somebody want my mat? I've only been lying on it for 38 years. It's a little old, but it's comfortable. Leave it behind. So, you can sit down. Thank you. Stand up! No, okay. I just wanted to try that. So we know that the man takes off, right? Jesus says, go home and stop sinning, or something worse could happen, right? What does he mean? Why is he saying go stop sinning? What was the sin he was committing? Unbelief? Doubt? Stagnation? Self-pity? Excusitis? That is such a thing? I made up a word, I think. If I didn't, you don't want that disease, do you? Too many people have it, right? So now that we've gotten rid of our excuses and what we did with it was the mat we were lying on, the old life we were there, comfortable with, what have we done with it? Throw it away. Because Christ stepped in and said for us to live our life to our fullest potential. To live your life to your fullest potential. To live your life with your purpose in mind, whatever that might be, for you to go ahead and do that, right? Otherwise, it really is a sin when you think about it. Wasted potential. We are created in God's image, right? And likeness, right? God is powerful. God is mighty. God is love. God is someone who teaches us, guides us, directs us, and helps us be who we are. And we're here to contribute to all of us, individually and collectively. We're here to contribute to one another. Hope, peace, joy, love, power, and encouragement for you to live your life to your full potential. And for us as a church to live up to our potential of being what Christ would call us all to be. We have a purpose here, right? Spiritual enrichment and growth. You understand we know our why? That's why I preach the way I do sometimes, in my kindest, gentlest, sweetest way, to help all of you move from a place where maybe you've been. It could be a day. It could be an hour. It could be many, many hours and days. But many of us get stuck, don't we? And we often get stuck in our excuses, don't we? And or our reasons. That horn is stuck outside. And you notice someone stood up and is going to go handle it. How cool is that? Now think about that. Would you not expect that if one of you were stuck, one of us would step in and help handle it? Is that what you expect from one another? And we call that encouragement, right? I believe when we get to heaven, it's just my theory, I haven't been there yet. When we get there, I think the question that God is going to ask us is, what did you do with it? What did you do with the life I gave you? Doesn't matter if it's 1 year, 5 years, 70 years, 80 years, 13 years. Doesn't matter. I think we're all going to get asked that question. I just have that theory. And I don't want to have to be the one to have to stand there and go, well, you see, those people at church, they wouldn't let me lead them very good. I tried to pastor them best I could, but you know what? You can't lead a sheep to water and make a drink. Is that a good excuse? Not very good. I better think of better ones before I get there, right? I got time, I hope. But seriously, you know in the Bible in Matthew where it says, well done, good and faithful servant, right? There are people in this world that no one will ever know. No one not as famous as Billy Graham. There are many invisible people that will stand before God, and God will say, what did you do with it? And they might say, well, that one time I taught Sunday school. That other time the church needed $2 and I gave it. Someone was sick in the hospital. I went and visited them. I called someone on the phone and prayed with them. And you know what God's going to say? Well done, good and faithful servant. See, we sometimes think in terms of hugeness, don't we? That if we don't do great big things, it doesn't matter. But that's not how God operates. Do you notice that there was one man lying down there 38 years? Who did Jesus go to? The one man. What do you think the others watching did after that? Well, if he can do it, shoot, I'm going to try. Right? I hope and pray that those of you that have heard this morning, if you're the one that's been lying on the mat for whatever reason, and we all have reasons. I'm not saying there's not reasons. Good, viable reasons sometimes. Things happen in our lives that cause us to get stuck and or in a place where we're just not quite there yet again. And God has to come and heal us and restore us in that. That's why we stay close to God who heals us, right? And then, you know, we might be a little less limber or something might have gone out of our life that we used to do, but maybe there's a new that we can do, right? Until we take our last breath, we can be serving God and others, can't we? By our example. It isn't how many times you fall. It's how many times you get back up. And we have a God we can trust. We have a God that no matter what happens to any one of us, we can still live our purpose, can't we? Can't we? So can all of you. Are you willing to do that today? Do you want to get rid of it? The sleeping mat? The excusitis? Well, you've been healed in the name of Jesus. And how about now you, the potential that you have, how about you begin to live your life to the fullest? Start with one small step. It's okay. It doesn't have to be massive. but just stand up and walk and go and do and be who God created you to be. Amen? Amen. Amen.